Introversion is an invisible superpower, said my guest on today's episode. I am speaking with Kenitra. She is an introverted career coach who works with women of color. We discuss being introverted and using our introversion to our advantage, and she shared more wisdom on introversion. Check it out. Hi, Kenitra.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's still pretty early for me, so I'm just going to have to try to catch up a little bit.
No worries. Thank you for being here.
No, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be a guest today.
Me too. Well, I'm excited to talk to you, I should say.
Same, likewise.
So let's start. So you're an introverted career coach. How did you get into that field?
Well, around this time last year, you know, the pandemic had really started to hit. And I was working at the time as a director of people and culture for a specialty coffee company that's Black owned in the Bay Area in California. And, you know, we had to abruptly shut down all of our locations for health and safety reasons. So I found myself in this position where, you know, my hours had been reduced. I had to really, am I going to stay here? Or am I going to take a chance on myself? I felt like it was too soon. I wasn't ready to start this business. And I had to think about, okay, who is it that I want to serve? And then also really kind of grappling with is, you know, would that business be right? And so I actually had a dream, and because I was trying to solve a problem of sleep. And I woke up and it just kind of came to me that I was like, you know, I really want to work with introverts because I myself am introverted. I 100% understand the challenges and the issues, like all of the tools and the strategies and the resources that I had learned.
Oh, that's really interesting. How important is it for you to empower other introverts?
All my work is centered around that, 100%. I think that so often introverts are excluded in all aspects of society, but specifically in the workplace, right? Introverts make up about, I don't know, like 40% of the population. I've never been one that's really into like meditation. I have tried and I have been very unsuccessful. I think this is something that is helpful, could be helpful for a lot of introverts. Doesn't mean it doesn't work. I just haven't been successful and I've struggled with it. But learning how to control my breath was a game changer for me. And that's because a lot of my anxiety that I've been struggling with throughout my life has been further impacted by like incessant worrying or trying to like worry about things that are so distant in the future that are beyond my control, that I would fixate on that. And so when I'm able to really focus on my breath in a situation, like when I'm in the moment, when something unplanned happens, that is really helpful for me. Just taking a few quick, deep breaths. And the reason why I say that is because it allows you to release whatever tension that you might be feeling in your body. And that can help you to be able to move forward. So like it helps ready the body and the mind for whatever is going to come next. Even though you don't know what's going to come next, it's still at least preparing you in some way on how to deal with it. And I think also I've had to learn to build a loose plan instead of something super structured. So for me, that means instead of trying to map out everything you're going to say to prepare for a meeting, just put some quick bullet points.
Right.
Jot down some discussion points or topics that you know you want to focus on or a few questions. And just, you know, ready your mind to know and to understand, to accept that the plan is subject to change. And that more than likely, some aspect of what you prepared for is going to be altered in some way, or it's going to be different. And so for me, almost having like a little bit of a mini conversation with yourself is really important so that you can just remind yourself, this is probably not going to go exactly according to plan, and learning to be okay with that. When I've noticed that when I tell myself that plans are going to change, it's a way of me prepping myself for that. It doesn't mean that I like it. It doesn't even mean that I might feel comfortable with the idea. But knowing it's true, I think, and recognizing that it's a fact does seem logical to me. And that allows me to process it better.
Right. And it's so hard to go from like what you plan, and then all of a sudden somebody throws something at you and you're like, this wasn't part of the plan. What am I supposed to do now?
No, 100%. I actually have a story for that. Recently, this past week, what happened to me, I had a call the other day with a videographer for this student commencement speech that I'm preparing for. I'm graduating from law school in May. And so, oh, cool. Yeah, thank you. I'm taking a breath on that one. So I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Right. And I was supposed to meet with this woman who was going to help me kind of plan out, at least I thought, what the process was supposed to be. And I thought we were going to just jump on a quick call and she was going to tell me about like the general structure of the speech and what it needed to be, maybe a topic, and give me some more concrete details about what I could expect. But that is not what it was. I was completely off base. We got on a Zoom call. She immediately moved into throwing a bunch of creative topics and ideas at me. And she was very excited about them. I could not grasp all the different things that she was trying to send my way. Mm. And I noticed immediately, you know, this was something I was already not super comfortable with, but was challenging myself to do. And so I already had that level of discomfort when I joined the call in the first place to talk about this thing that I didn't really want to do or didn't feel 100% comfortable doing. And I felt completely unprepared because I'm thinking, I'm just doing this short call. It was really an hour-long call she wanted to have.
Wow.
And somewhere in the middle of that, when I felt myself getting really overwhelmed, I just sort of interjected and said, you know what? First, I asked the question. I said, are we brainstorming right now? Is this what we're doing? And she said, oh, yeah, you know, I want to throw some ideas and see what sticks. And I was like, okay. I actually took that moment to say, you know what? I'm an introvert. And I process information differently. So I really want to like join in and provide ideas too, and like be able to see what's going to work best since I have to deliver this speech. I was like, but I can't really respond to all the questions that you're throwing at me right now because I haven't had time to think about it. Do you think it's possible for us to have like another call, like maybe the next day or even like early next week? Because I want to be able to contribute, but right now I really don't have any answers for you because I wasn't prepared to really talk about this today. And she was really receptive. We ended up having a call later that day. And it was really fruitful because I had some time to think about it and I felt less uncomfortable.
Right.
And we had this really honest dialogue about where we was. And she was like, you know, I'm an extrovert and I do get really excited and okay, let me think about it. And I was like, you know, what I really need is I need some structure. So can you give me an example of what you're looking for? Something that I can match to something. And once we got on that page, we had a really wonderful conversation and I was no longer stressed. She was no longer frustrated. And we ended up exchanging like details at the end of the call and having like maybe 15 minutes of just regular conversation about our lives. And that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been honest about how I was feeling and how I was processing. And so it was a teachable moment for me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is exactly what I'm telling other people to do.
Yeah. it works.
it does. And sometimes we have to slow down and listen to our body. Because my body was telling me, oh, you're uncomfortable, girl. You don't, like, you need to stop right now.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really listening to that. But once I slowed down, the stream of consciousness slowed down for me. And I was able to process and actually take some form of action that really improved the conversation for both people involved. Mm-hmm. So I was really excited about that.
That's awesome. So I'm going to read something you posted on your Instagram that was like, so this is the quote that you posted. Okay. I never really thought of introversion as a personality type. Instead, it was the key to unlocking how I experience the world. Being an introvert is part of my identity. However, it's not a summation of all that I am or aspire to be. So when I read that, I was like, wow, I've never thought about it this way. Why do you think that people understand introversion as a personality type?
Well, first, before I answer that question, I'm really curious, how did you feel about that quote?
I had to sit and take it all in because I was like, I've never thought about it this way. And I thought it was interesting because people like to say that introverts is a personality type. That's just you. This is the way you are, and there's nothing you can do about it. Uh-huh. It's yes and no. So when I read that, I'm like, I'm more than an introvert. Yes, I'm an introvert, but I'm like way more than that. So I was like, wow, I've never thought about it this way.
No, yes. No, I'm so glad that particular quote resonated with you and struck you in some way. You know, when I wrote that, or at least when I was thinking about it, you know, I feel like, and you don't see this on everyone's page, but a lot of times when people talk about introversion, instead of focusing on this spectrum, right, of like, because we're not just 100% introverts, mm-hmm. or extroverts or whatever, you know, we're all operating on a spectrum. And so I was thinking about how we're so much more than a type. And I feel like, you know, when you look at things like the MBTI typing, personality typing or profiles, it's started to become a little like astrology, right? Yes. I'm a Leo, you know, I'm a Leo, I'm a Libra, you know, and then we really just have people that start to fixate on that, mm-hmm. you know, because it's something that you feel like you can identify with. But at the end of the day, it's a profile. It's not the be all end all of who you are and what mm-hmm. you're made up of. And just because you're an INFP, that doesn't mean you can't work in business, you know, or, you know, you know what I mean? And I've seen many people limit themselves or their mm-hmm. potential based off of a very limited typing profile. Like, right. I know what my type is technically, mm-hmm. Which is an INFJ, or depending on the day, it might be an INTJ. But it's not a summation of who I am. It's not, being an introvert to me is more about understanding how you operate energetically.
Yes.
It is not about, am I shy? Am I quiet? You know, am I, you know, a deep thinker? You know, am I empathetic? I mean, those are aspects of a personality. But some of those same personality or characteristics can apply to an extrovert. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's unfair for us to just focus on introversion or even extroversion being a personality type, so to speak. It's more about, you know, what's your preference? Do right. you turn inward, mm-hmm. or do you need to turn outward to get your energy or receive it? And so that's always what I try to focus on with my clients too. Like, I know, like, some coaches, the first thing they do is have people take a test or a quiz to see what type of introvert are they. And I'm more like, how do you like to work? What feels good to you? What kind of environment do you need to be in? Mm-hmm. Versus, let's find out if you're an INFJ.
Yes.
Or, you know what I mean? I don't want people to fixate on that. But I think very much in society, we have this need to categorize things. Mm-hmm. And then when people don't fit a category, we either exclude it, throw it out, we invalidate it as something that's incorrect. And I don't want people to do that with themselves as individuals. And so I think it's best for us to look at it from a perspective of, you know, what our preferences are versus what our personality type is.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And I feel because of these profiles, people walk around with these acronyms all the time. Oh, I am an INFJ. Oh, I am a this and this. And you're just like, okay, great.
But what does that mean?
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah.
We're more than a type.
Absolutely. So in your experience, how can introverts use their introversion to their advantage?
First of all, I want to say that introversion is a superpower. Mm. Hands down. Yes. It is an invisible superpower that you can use for so many different things. Mm-hmm. I think the number one and often underutilized superpower that we have, I think, as introverts, is our ability to read a room. Mm-hmm. Introverts, to me, can read a room like no one else.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you probably have numerous instances of like being in a meeting and just being able to to be observant and noticing body language, taking in all those nonverbal cues and the filtering tension. It out. Yep. Right. And to me, you know, in my experience, nonverbal cues will tell you more about what's really going on and how people are really feeling than what's actually coming out of someone's mouth. Mm-hmm. I can trust that more than I can trust what you're actually saying to me in a lot of instances, especially in the workplace. I also feel that we are very strong with, I think that introverts excel in one-on-one situations. We really do. And I think that that's something that I have found even with some of my clients, they just weren't utilizing. And that goes with networking or managing your manager relationship. We are really great when we work one-on-one with people. We really seem to thrive in those settings, I would say. So utilizing our power of going deep with people and utilizing those one-on-one meetings to get our points across, sometimes the key people in the organizations that we work for, can be really helpful for elevating our careers. And I think that's something that just goes underutilized all the time. Introverts should have consistent one-on-one meetings with their managers on the calendar where they have time to talk about what they're doing, what projects they're working on, when they can like have an opportunity to unearth what are some issues or some challenges that they may be having, and also an opportunity to discuss your career pathing and to talk about what you're interested in and to also allow your manager to get a little bit more insight into who you are as an individual, as a person on the team. Those are all things that I think that we can do, that we could use our introversion to our advantage, but also to help elevate our careers as well. I think we're supreme advocates. I think introverts are excellent at advocating for other people. We just need to work on it for ourselves.
Yes. So true.
We're so good at seeing, being able to recognize like injustices and inequities that are happening in the workplace and to other people, and advocating for those people. And trying to set things right too, like actually taking action. I think that's one of the things that we're really talented at. And I think any position or role within an organization, or even if you want to start your own business, that allows you to advocate for others, is something that we really seem to excel in. And then the last thing I would say, because there's so many things that I could name about introverts, is our ability to go deep and see beyond the surface. I think we're magic in this area. And I think that we need more leaders who are not just like merely operating on the surface. And we need people who are willing to do the work and to move beyond the idea phase. And so I feel like we're really strong at executing and implementing things. And we need more leaders who actually like to do that and who understand how to do that. So they can understand, you know, what is the impact of the things that they're putting out into the world. And so I think, you know, introverts just have so many untapped talents that we need to see more visibly in the workplace.
Absolutely. And I feel like you just preached to me right now, Kenitra. So.
Well, that's like the Sunday, you know. That's my Sunday word, I guess.
That's great.
No, we just have so much to give. I 100% in my heart just believe that introverts are, we have so many valuable things to contribute in the work, in life, in society. We need to be more in the forefront and we need to have our voices heard and we need to be put into positions where we can elevate not just our own voices, but to elevate and expand the voices of others. And that's really a part of the work that I want to do. And also the work that I see so many other introverts doing out here in the internet.
Right? Yeah.
just trying to kind of globalize that. And so I'm really excited to see over the next few years how introverts start to take their place and really start to build and create things and to step into their own bold leadership in their own way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What do you wish your past managers had understood about your introversion?
That's a whole breath.
Take it in.
Let me breathe through that. So many things. You know, I had one particularly bad experience working for, I've been really blessed to work remotely for most of my career in some respect, but there was one company that I worked for that was 100% remote.
Okay.
So we were all distributed across the US and even in globally. And I think the number one thing I would have wanted people at that particular organization to realize is that just because I didn't want to be on camera all the time, it didn't mean that I wasn't engaged. Mm. I was still speaking. I was still talking. You know, I still contributed my ideas. I just didn't want to be on camera all day, every day. And we had lots of meetings. And so that would get really trying for me. And I just want not only, you know, that organization or managers that I've had in the past, but for all the introverts out there in the world who might be working remote, you know, especially right now during the pandemic, just because your introvert employees or coworkers don't have their camera on, it does not mean they are not engaged. It does not mean they don't like you. It doesn't mean that they're not listening. They're probably listening more deeply than anybody else on the call.
Can you say that again louder for the people at the back?
It's true. Most likely we are taking detailed notes and we are listening very deeply and we're capturing what the next steps are because we're executors. We want to execute the things. Mm-hmm. But I just remember that being a really painful experience for me because no one ever came out and said it directly. It was a lot of passive aggressive comments oh, we miss seeing your face, you know, or, you know, we really want to see everyone engaged. Like, how does that, my visual representation, my face being on Zoom does not equal engagement. I just really want everybody to know that.
Yeah.
It does not. The other thing is the decoding of our facial expressions, especially as Black women and Black introverts in the workplace. You know, I had received feedback when I was much younger about you wear your emotions on your sleeve. And so it shows up on your face. So when I received that feedback, I just stopped having any expressions whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And then alternatively, I would get feedback that, oh, well, we don't know what you're thinking or how you're feeling because we can't tell by the expressions on your face. And so I'm going to overreact to the reaction I feel like you're not having. And I started to feel like I had to manage other people's feelings and perceptions. And I just want to tell introverts that that's not your job and it's not your responsibility to manage other people's feelings. That's exhausting. And that's the opposite of what we need to do or should be doing. Mm-hmm. And it prohibits us from doing our best work. And so I kind of felt like, well, I can't win for losing, right? Like, because I'm doing, on one hand, I'm showing how I feel. On the other hand, I'm not, and I'm still being penalized for it. Mm-hmm. And what I quickly realized is that, alternatively, when I looked at my white coworkers, they could have a range of emotions and feelings, and it could be on their face, and they could have a tantrum in a meeting or get angry, and I couldn't do that. That was not something that was reserved. So there's a lot of restraint that I think we have to have in the workplace. And it's not really afforded to us as Black women or even Black people who are introverts to be able to be expressive in that way. Mm-hmm. And I just would really want managers to understand how race and gender also impact the intersectionality of also cognitive type and how that impacts our experiences and how they need to be aware of how they're delivering feedback and what that means and what type of perceptions they are creating by saying those things. And I would like to tell just Black introverts, just to remind them that we can't be all things to all people, and we shouldn't try to have to manage people's feelings. And all we can do is do our best at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Again, that was the word. I have nothing else to say.
I the decoding of the facial expressions thing for me is deep, because so many of us, we experience this phenomenon far too often, and it impacts us in real, in very real ways that can also hit us in our pocketbooks and can impact our compensation.
Right.
Because then we're overlooked for promotional opportunities, or, you know, we don't get the round of feedback that we need to get that pay increase or that merit increase, even though, you know, our performance is outstanding or exemplary.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard because you're at work, you're doing your, you know, you're working 100%, you're giving your best, and then somebody tells you, we don't really see that you're engaged because you kind of look like you're upset. And you're you're shocked. You're like, wait, what? No, this is just my face. What?
No, and then you find yourself in a position where you have to defend your face.
Right. Like, how do I defend my, this is my face. I'm sorry.
it's so true. And it's so frustrating because, you know, then you start to hear things like, oh, well, you know, she's just not engaged.
Right.
Oh, I don't think she'll be, yeah, I don't really want this person on my team. Or, or there's this idea that a lot of times I've heard this from other Black women who are introverts, that we're not friendly and that we're mean or we're unapproachable. Mm-hmm. And that translates to, I'm not going to put this person on my team. I'm not going to recommend them for a promotion. I'm not going to give them the lead for that project. And that hits us in our pocketbooks.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
Kenitra, it was wonderful talking with you.
No, Sam, likewise. And thank you again for inviting me to be a guest. This was fun.
Yes. Take care. That was such a great conversation I had with Kenitra. I hope you found it insightful just as much as I did. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. And please subscribe. Follow me on Instagram at introverted_queenblog. That's also a wrap for season one. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for the guests, for sharing their stories, and the listeners for supporting and sharing. Stay tuned for season two. Take good care, and until next time.